And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. Amen. First, we explore the theology in the last chapters of Job. You know, we've been doing that, and I'm picking apart pieces because they're so much fun. We discover that God does not favor the rich over the poor. The Pharisees believed that God blessed people based on their wealth, and it was not founded or supported in the Old Testament scripture. In reality, God blesses those who are poor by making them rich in faith, which pleases God. Next, it is inescapable. Can I say inescapable? It's like an escape room that you can't get out of. So it's inescapable.
Pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Inescapable that God carefully observes how people live and sees everything they do. This means there is not a thought, word, or action that anyone on this planet has committed or been involved with that God doesn't know about. He knows our intentions, he knows our sincerity, and he knows our hypocrisy. In fact, in Revelation, Jesus said 7 times to 7 churches, I know. Interesting. And then finally, the Lord then establishes the reality that those who have no respect for him or his ways will come to a quick end. However, those who cry out to God will catch his attention. He hears the cries of the needy and never ignores them. He may not respond exactly as everyone would like, but he responds perfectly because he knows exactly how to respond. Wait. And that's why he is God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show. I have this Chromebook. It's about, you know, it's about 2 dimes. It's about 20 cents.
The light's still coming on. That thing even working.
The hinges work and the lights work. As long as that happens, we keep using it. It doesn't have long to go, but we'll give it as much as we can. You can email me during the show. It does get here, really. ask Eddie. It does get here. Here's the bottom line. David@hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org. Okay? That's what you'd email. You can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Yep, won't hurt you. We, as best as we can tell, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call of 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite. Dynamite!
Talking to Dynamite D is like knowing that your spiritual family has your back. That's like knowing that somebody has your back. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, that's kind of awesome. Okay, so here's the dealios. We'll keep it really simple. You might call in. Maybe you've got a prayer request and you want us to pray. We will pray for you. We will take our faith, combine it with your faith, petition the Lord. We'll petition it with high faith and expectation, but with submission, just like Jesus did when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we'll ask the Father to do in the name of Jesus to bring glory to his name. Maybe you've got a praise report, something going on, and so it's like you want to share. So it's really important that you get to share, get that opportunity to share, to respond, and to talk, and to communicate with other people and tell them about the great things of God. Now, we do have somebody that wants to call in. They got a question. Yeah, sure. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Curtis. David, happy Monday, my friend. I hope you're having a blessed day so far.
I am, Curtis. How are you, man?
Listen, my brother, I'm great. I had a quick question. I'm really trying harder to understand the Bible more these days. I've been getting into it a lot. I was wondering, brother, could you explain to me, when Christ was crucified, what was the term, the curtain was torn in two?
The curtain. Okay, so what is that? And here's what's so amazing about that. So that the curtain is what separated between where the presence of God was and where the people were. It was kind of like a protective barrier. So when Jesus died, the curtain, now watch this, this will blow your mind. The curtain was torn, from top to bottom, which means that God is the one who tore it. In other words, he tore it from his side once Jesus was crucified to show that there wouldn't be a separation any longer between the presence of God and his people, and that now, through Jesus Christ, we can come into the very presence of God.
Oh, awesome. I love that. I love that. I just always wondered what it meant. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So thank you, David. You just put a huge smile on my face.
It's one of the coolest things there is. It's like, what? Yeah, and it wasn't like somebody came there with a big scissors. It was like God went, and it was ripped, and that was it.
From the sky to the ground, I suppose. That's incredible. Thank you, David. I love your show, my brother, and I wish you guys the best, and keep on doing what you're doing, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, sir.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. And so now sometimes I can't answer that quick, although that's a good question. So it's
that was a really good question.
Great question.
I don't even remember hearing that.
That's so cool. And the fact is, I remember, so the first time I heard it was from top to bottom, I was like, what? It's like, I had to think about that. What? And so you can know about that curtain. It's like an inch and a half. I think they said it was an inch and a half to 2 inches thick. So this is not like, it's not like a blankie. Okay. That's right. I use the term blankie. Leave me alone. So it's not like a blankie. It's like, sturdy kind of thing. Okay. All right. We'll done that. All right. So if you've got a prayer request, if you got a praise word, if you got a question, and I can answer. Now, the other thing is, if you ask me a question I don't know, I'll tell you. I don't know. If you tell me, well, why did the Lord do this and this? Why does it say it's between 20 and 30 gallons of water, doesn't give you the exact amount? I don't know. I guess God was saying it's between 20 and 30, I guess is the answer. Sometimes that is the answer. You just, what everybody wants, it's not always there, but sometimes there is something. All right, we are going to do trivia. If you guys don't get this, I don't even know if I'm breaking yet. I don't know what I'm doing. I got so much to do. Our scheduling is so far off. I feel bad for D.
No, I'm good, Dave.
You all right? All right. We're all over.
We're all over.
So. I know, but it's fun. That's what's fun about it. All right, here's a question. Now, this is a good question. Al originally wants to know, can he like both, because he likes the print and the electric. And then he tried to give the answer early on this one. He's going to find out that was a bad answer. Here we go. Who is the father of lies? Who is the father of lies? Is it Satan, Adam, or Cain? Satan, Adam, or Cain? Who is the father of lies? You guys, if you don't know this, I'm telling you, even me, I have a right to go, wait a sec, of course you have to know
this. If you don't
get
this one, you've been lied to.
That's a good one right there. Dynamite D comes in with a double D right there. That's a good one, brother. I like that. All right, let's send the person through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother.
Hey, little brother. What's going on?
Hey, not much. The answer is Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil. of course, it's Satan! Yeah, of course! Dr. Evil.
Well, because I'm talking to Dr. Dave, so he's Dr. Evil, the other one.
I just still think that's the funniest thing where in that movie where it had Dr. Evil. He goes, $1 million. Like, what? What? It's $1 million? What are you talking about? good. Anyway, how's it going, man?
Hey, good.
Just
pray for me, whatever. I need some prayer, so
okay.
Pray for me. I think Lord knows what I need or what I'm going through.
Okay, let's pray. I want to pray over you. And I also want to give thanks to my buddy Noah. Noah, who's my friend, I had a chance to talk to a prospective job person for them, and he ended up getting a job offer, so he's just super happy about that. But let me pray for both of you. So
and one more thing. I'm praying for the family that lost their baby, so I'm praying for that family.
Yeah, I know.
So.
That's an everyday. Everyday. I gotcha. Well, let's pray. Let's bring it before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now, and first and foremost, we thank you. First, we thank our God, and it's not because we're obligated, Lord. It's because it's our privilege to thank you first. You are just awesome to every one of us. Your kindness is so exceeds us, Lord. And, Lord, I lift up my brother Samson. He needs courage. He needs encouragement. He needs to know that he is on track with you. He needs that on a continual basis. He needs that fellowship with your Holy Spirit. We just ask you to bless him in that and give him that sense of comfort and confidence. And we just want to say, help Nola's family. Nola's great, Lord, but help John and his wife and Nola's parents. And we just pray you would bless and comfort their hearts and keep them close to you as they are close to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for my dear friend Noah, and just blessed that you were able to get him into a new place, a new position, and pray that he would excel and do everything to just honor you and glorify you. Bless these that we are lifting up before you. Bless my brother here. Give him a great week. Let him turn it from a 6 to a 9 in his level of expectation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brother.
You got it, bro. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Okay, now, there's no way I'm going to miss this. So I've told everybody numerous times, I swear I've told everybody, I could go through Job in these huge chunks, and that's what most people do. And I understand that. Believe me. This is like the longest. It's like so long. It's different when it's in Psalms because every Psalm, there's 150 Psalms. It's like switching over here. With Job, it's not like that. But there is so much material here that just gets swept by. I kind of refuse to do that. And I'm having more fun teaching the stuff that nobody talks about than anything else. So here I am in this place in Job 34. And I didn't get this last week. And I just am dying to share this one thing. It's so incredible in my mind. So I'm going to talk about it. So in Job chapter 34, verse 12, after he says there's no truer statement than this, that God can do no wrong. We talked about that last week. The Almighty cannot twist justice. I'm sorry. Verse 13 says, who in the world in his care, who has set the world in place? God has. Verse 14, this is the thing I want to key on. If God were to take back his spirit, if God were to take back his spirit and withdraws his breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust. Now, you see why I can't skip stuff like this? You cannot miss this.
That's good.
I mean, you just cannot miss this. It's Job 34, 14, and 15. If God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all of life would cease, and humanity would turn again to dust. Okay. So, a little bit of humility for all of us, right? Because if God, and it's not that God's going to do this, and I think it's the way too arrogant to say he can't do it because, don't tell God what he can and can't do. Stop that, okay? God is God. You don't put on God a human estimation. That's just absurdity, okay? You don't do that, okay? He will do it. You don't do it. You're a person. He's God. Don't do that. But the clarity, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and we know when you go into Job 33, as well as other passages, You know the breath of life is the spirit of the living God. When God breathed that into Adam, Adam had the pulsating life power of God in him because God breathed into him his spirit. Okay? Now watch. Every human being since then has been a recipient of that same original breath. You understand? In other words, the breath one time has given life to billions of people. So let's understand what's going on. From Adam, even when Eve, remember, Eve came from Adam. So the breath of God in Adam, Eve's made of that same breath, and then Adam and Eve, and there on down, all the way. And here, Elihu, smart little guy, if God were to take back his spirit, if he were to withdraw his breath, all life would cease. You get, in other words, that's it. All humanity, not some, every, all humanity, people that are no longer in the dust, or those people that are alive, would immediately become dust if God said, see, God didn't make man out of the dirt, which is what some priests and some people who are into the woke whatever thing, just they're just wrong. It's the dust. It's the top layer. It's the very thin little stuff of dirt on the top. It's dust, like when you dust your house. So when they say, we dug deep in and the color of the sand was this, that, whatever, just stupid. It's just dumb. Okay, it's like what? It doesn't make sense. God used the dust, breathed life into dust. Think about dust on your television. He breathed life into that. It became a living being. It has sustained billions of people. If God takes back his breath, everything turns back to dust. Okay, now we'll ask a very, very, very important question. Ready? Who's in charge? Okay, wait. Who's in charge? God is in charge. And nobody else, ever. Okay, we got that. Okay. Take a break and then come back. Then we'll do our DNA. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Mail it to the station. Just attention, David Spoon. He must increase ministry. I should have been saying that for like the last year. I forgot. That's that Steve Martin line when he says, well, you haven't paid taxes in 10 years. He said, this is a joke, dude. He go, well, I forgot. that's a good one. I should use that with my wife. You didn't take the garbage out. I forgot. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. You have to love that. I forgot.
I just that tickled you a little bit, didn't it, Dave?
Huh?
I say that tickled you a little bit.
Yeah,
didn't it?
It's just so fun. We're going to do this. I forgot. Okay, anyway, here we go. So this is a much tougher trivia question. Okay, that's me being nice, telling you now ahead of time. The next two questions are rather difficult. Not difficult, they take a little bit of thinking. One is really easily understood. The other one is something you had to kind of do from deduction. So I'm going to give you the question and three possible answers. Here it is. Here's the first one. This is for this segment right here. How old was Manasseh when he began to reign? Was he 8 years, 12 years, or 20 years old? 8 years, 12 years, or 20 years old. And we're talking about physical age, not mental capacity of leaders. Okay? All right, great. All right, so if you think you know the answer, you can... what can you do? You can call, okay? You can call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Okay? Those are the three ways that you can do it. The question, how old was Manasseh when he began to reign? Was he 8 years old? Was he 12 years old? Or was he 20 years old? I encourage everybody to look it up since every answer we got so far is incorrect. That's the best hint you could possibly get right there. Look it up. Look it up. If you think you know, reach out to us. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
It's such a good. So one thing I did today. So one of the things I've been noticing is I've been rushing, like pushing, like trying to get like a lot of stuff done. And so I purposely set it up so I can get an extra 15, 20 minutes of chill and relaxed time. So I was able to go into my devotion slower, go into everything slower. It really helped. It was amazing how much it helped me. I was just like, wow. Anyway, spend time with the Lord. Doesn't matter how much time, just spend time. And don't try and just get it done like you're paying a bill or something like that. Spend time with your King. Okay? That's what it is. We were in the garden, kind of blew that. Jesus came back, restored the garden. Get back to the garden. Okay? All right. That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never ever be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. OPM, other people matter. The more that we invest in one another, the more return we get from God. That's the best way to say it right there. The more you invest in other people, the more God gives you a return.
I may have to steal that one from
That's
you.
That's a good one, right? Well, I don't know where that came from. I like it. All right, again. How old was Manasseh when he began to reign? Was he 8, 12, or 20 years old? That is the question. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Now, it's okay to use your Bible and to look up in the concordance in the back look up Manasseh. All right, that's one way to do it. Or you can, but just, it's not that you can't Google it, but if that's the only way you can access, that's fine. We just don't want, we want it to stick. And so if you have to look it up in the book, it seems like it sticks better.
Well, you know, Dave, usually you give them a scripture reference. Did you give them a scripture reference this time?
Okay.
No. Okay, so they got to do a little homework.
little bit of homework. Okay. 2 Kings 21. Okay, there's 2 Kings 20. All right. Boy, you're really helping them. You're just on their side all the way.
Hey, I have to a little bit.
All right, I'll give you that one. 2 Kings 21. Then kind of verse 1. It's kind of like, okay. 2 Kings 21, verse 1. That should really help you. Let me know if you find it. Won't you look it up while we're doing that? Let me get into this. I do have to do this text. I don't want people to miss or think we're not doing this. So back into Job 34, I want to go to verse 19. Okay, and this is verse 19 of Job 34. Okay, all right. Here's what it says. He doesn't care how great a person may be, and he doesn't pay any more attention to the rich than to the poor. He made them all. In a moment, they die. At midnight, they all pass away. The mighty are removed without human hands. All right. Just back it up a step, and you'll totally get this. Because I love when God is in charge, because then you don't have to be in charge, if that makes sense. Like, if he's really in charge, then you don't have to try and pry it out of his hands. You don't have to try and manipulate God, because that could never happen anyway. Verse 19, he doesn't care how great a person may be. Well, he's really, yeah, I don't care. We're going to take you to the leader of our... No, you're not. This guy's in charge of... No, he isn't. This lady knows... No, she doesn't. It's like there's everything you would say. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. And then he does this, and this ruins the theology for so many people. It's amazing. He says, I mean, this, you know this is here. And it's amazing because the Pharisees, how could they have not have read this? He doesn't pay any more attention to the rich than to the poor. There's this mindset, and the Pharisees had it, that people that were rich, they were the ones that were blessed by God. Wrong. That doesn't mean that God won't bless you with riches. That's not what I'm saying. It's what it's saying is the people who are rich and the people that are poor get no more attention or favor from God, one to the other. It doesn't matter about what's in your wallet. It matters what's in your heart. It's not your bank account. It's your inner being. And people that have, and the scripture's clear, God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. And people that are rich in faith have very powerful things that happen to them. Like, I don't know, for example, Abraham. You know, it's just like, think about that. And what we do, what we think is that, well, because they have so much money, they must be blessed by the Lord. Wrong answer. God doesn't care about that. That's not how it works. That's not how the system works. And it's his system. So he's very specific in this. Yeah, just because you're blessed doesn't mean you're more, or just because you have finances doesn't mean you're blessed more than somebody else. In fact, let me ask you this question. If Jesus, being the very image of God, was less blessed than somebody else, wouldn't you find that almost bizarre and amazing? Yet Jesus wasn't the richest man on the planet. It's just like, it's just... He didn't go around with a camel. Rich people went around with a camel. I'm just saying, he just like, it doesn't make sense. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Here's how it works. What's in you? That's what God sees. What's inside of you? That's what the Lord sees. And if the Lord blesses the poor with a richness of faith, maybe they're more blessed because they have faith. I don't know. You know, tough one right there. Okay, let's answer the triv question. We are going to take our break. I just love that, though. It's like, what's the difference? No. I love it when God is sovereign, he's sovereign. That's it. So you know how we do this. We try to manipulate him. Oh, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. If you take me to McDonald's, Dad, I'll clean my room. How old was Manasseh when he began to reign? And the answer is 12. 12 years old. That's right. Now, 8, that is really young. 20, that's 12. He was 12. At 12, I was like, we're playing Little League, aren't we?
Right. And reading that passage was, he went down the wrong way as well.
As guys, there was the worst, then there was Manasseh. That's how bad he was. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day? I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to... Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle, Rocky and his friends, premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked it. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Natasha and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together. And I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove, and then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, and that doesn't sound right. Skydivid. That doesn't sound right. Sky div, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, going, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Now, I'm telling you now, this one's a little harder, okay? So you thought the last one was a little harder, and then we gave the scriptural reference. I am going to give a scriptural reference because I'm going to need to, okay? But this is, you have to think broadly. I don't know how to say this. You have to think bigger. Even when you read the reference, you have to think, ooh, bigger than that. Okay? All right? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Even when you read the reference, you have to think bigger. How many years did the period of judges last? How long was that period of judges? At least 300 years, at least 30 years, at least 200 years. A reference, a launch point, would be Judges 11:26. How many years? Think of all those judges, and some reign this, some reign that. Is it 300 years, 30 years, or 200 years minimum? Get that?
Every answer Eric's giving, he's going, oy vey, oy vey.
I like these. These little A, B, C, or D.
Yeah, so you got to choose. And I just got to, it's like, you got to figure it out. Okay? And I can't, but I tell you, this is one you will never forget if you catch. I want you to look at that, Judges 11:26. You'll read that little thing, and then you think, well, that's the minimum. See there? So that'll help you. Okay, that's that. In the meantime, I still have to do history because I've been really bad on history. So, oh, by the way, if you – oh, I got to also send you the website. Boy, I got to do a lot of stuff. All right, so if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 plus. You can text in 214-210-8483 plus. You can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org, and I'll send you up to the website. We do this for a couple of different reasons. The website's very important to us because it's where we pretty much do most of our fundraising, and it's what enables us to do the show. Plus, we really have this strong desire not just to do what we're doing now, but to do it and keep it going and make it grow. So we're already expanding from Dallas now into San Diego, Dallas and San Diego into who knows where's next, right? But I need help to do it. I can't do it. If I was $1 billion, I'd still tell you to give because it's important to give, but we would just be in all those places. So I'm going to send you up to the website. On the website, by the way, is a place to give. It's the big donate button. It says donate.
Pretty hard to miss.
Yeah, donate. Like, help us out here. And if you have a hard time doing that, let me know, and we will walk you through it personally. We don't ever have a problem with that. Check it all out, by the way, on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
That's about how fast the show goes. Okay, let's do history, or we're never going to get anything done anywhere in the world, so let's do our history real fast.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, we'll do this quickly. Today is Senior Citizens Day, which is pretty good since we talked about 1 Timothy, and we were doing that whole thing about respecting the elders. National Spumoni Day, that's the layered Italian ice cream dessert, different layers, and usually has little pieces of fruit in it. But so kind of like, I think it's like a Napolitan.
Spumoni?
Spumoni.
Spumoni. That's like your nickname.
I know. It's like Spumoni. Hey, that's a good one, right? Men's Grooming Day doesn't apply to me. I just cut my hair off completely. I'm bald. I'm not bald, but I try to be bald. In fact, I wish I could just do it once and then never have to do it again.
People say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, yes, I do. I've been this way for a long time.
1931 on this day, Babe Ruth hit 600 home run. Also on this day, 1933, Major League had baseball hold its first All-Star game. So think about that. That's 90 years ago.
Did you say in the 30s?
That's the 1933.
I would have never guessed that. Wow.
I know. And these are all – it's so funny because then 1959, Hawaii became the 50th state in the United States. So this is 1959. So it's not that long ago. People think it's like – no, it's not. It's not that long ago. I don't know what happened to their government there, but there, you know. And then you got to be praying for people in Maui. That's a disaster. And then 1982, Raleigh Fingers becomes the first pitcher to get 300 saves. Raleigh Fingers, Oakland A's. The dude with the mustache, Raleigh. Okay, anyway, back to the trivia question. We go into their teaching, and people are like, you're losing your mind. You have no idea. Here is the question. How many years did the period of judges last? At least 300 years, at least 30 years, or at least 200 years? So if you think about the judges, you can kind of add some of them, you know, reign for, you know, 20 years, 40 years. It's like different. You can add it up pretty fast, but then if you use that passage in Judges 11:26, you'll know for sure. Okay, all right, great. If you think you know, 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483, or david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the text, please. Here we are at verse 21 of Job 34 says this: for God carefully watches the way people live. I read that and then I stop. And then I look up to heaven and then I go, I'm sorry.
Because I know what to me. What is he saying? He carefully watches everything. God carefully watches the way people live. He sees everything they do. All right, now just do honesty, okay? Do honest, right? God has seen everything you have ever done, ever. In fact, right now, things you don't even know you're going to do, God has already seen you do, since he's omniscient, so he lives beyond the concept of time. That's what omniscience is. All, what does it mean? All knowledge. How much knowledge? All. Not all knowledge to this point. It's all knowledge. Past, present, and future. God knows everything. There is not a thought or a word or an action you or any other being on this planet has ever taken that God is unaware of. He knows our intentions. He knows when they're sincere and real and we're trying. He knows that sincerity part of you. He knows the hypocrisy part of you. He knows when I'm trying to manipulate him. Lord, do this, and then I'll do this. God knows every one of those things. And here's the thing that is the greatest gospel lesson of all, if we could just grasp it. God knows everything you have, you are, and you will ever do, and he still said yes to you. Just think about that. Everything I've ever... Now, I did enough BC before Christ for me to have my own special level in darkness land. Is that a nice way to play that, right? I mean, terrible, terrible things. And the Lord knew every one of those things. In fact, he knows the ones that I probably have buried or I won't even acknowledge. And still he loves me. Now, you can say what you want to the person next to you, and you can say what you want to your spouse or your friend or your children or whatever, whoever it is you're talking about, whatever. But to your Lord, to your God, he knows everything. And he still picked you. I just think that's so powerful. I think what we fail to recognize as part of our strength and part of the glory is that God went, yeah, I still want David. I can change that. I can change him. I'm going to make him something different. But Lord, look at me. I know. Perfect. Complete mess. Time for me to go to work.
God's mess.
That's right. I might be a mess, but I'm his mess. Can you say amen? That's how much he loves you. I mean, let's just think about that. And don't kid yourself. In the next week, you'll probably say one dumb thing. In fact, if you only say one dumb thing, I'm much more impressed. That'd be amazing. I'll say one dumb thing in the next hour, let alone the next week, right? Or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, right? God already knows what dumb thing I'm going to say. Loves me anyway. Thank you, Lord. That's the response. That's the only thing you can say. And I know. It's like, well, that's not really the main part of the test. I know. But don't tell me it ain't there. It's right there. It's like, oh, that's so beautiful. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? All right. How many years did the period of Judges last? So the question is 330 or 200. If you looked at Judges chapter 11, verse 26, it makes a reference to 300 years that they hadn't bothered anybody, and there was yet four judges past that. So it's at least 300 years. So probably between 300 and 400 years is that period of the Judges, is a good way to say it. So, but that's a good thing. It's like, oh, that's good to know. I really get that. That's cool. You should know that. That's helpful to know. Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Teaching time. I don't know how we're going to do the breaks, Gabriel, so I'll just look at me. I'll let you know. I mean, this is the best I can tell you. Because I'm going to teach you something that I hope I there's no way I can teach this. I can't teach the worth. I can't teach the value. But I'm going to do my best to share with you my heart in this process. As American people, as people who live in America, we have been granted the right to pursue happiness. And I want to make sure you understand what this means. We have a preamble to the United States Declaration of Independence, and the preamble to the Declaration says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I do want to point out it does not say life, liberty, and the provisions of or for happiness. In other words, the rights that we have in the preamble is that we get to pursue happiness, not that it's provided for us by the government. So that's kind of an important point for people to recognize. It would be nice if they quit trying to quote our founding fathers and then say they're entitled to something because of that provision, because it never says that.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We do have one more trivia question. Let's see if I can find the trivia piece of paper, which I just lose them in all these papers.
All over your desk, Dave.
What's amazing is you would think this desk is big enough, but it's because there's two chairs on the other side, and it's like I need another 3 feet, and then I need it to have a circle in the middle. Anyway, you guys should get this. I'm going to give you a chance. I want you to listen to the question. There is a reference, but first let me give you the question, give you a chance to answer it. What musical instrument was used to give the marching signal to the people of Israel? Was it a silver trumpet, a shofar, or a flute? Now understand that this is the marching signal. So your reference is going to be Numbers chapter 10. Look in the first couple of verses. You'll get your answer. Is it a silver trumpet, a shofar, or a flute? Some people are like, Dave, these trivia questions are hard. I know, but if we learn these, then it is easier to do the easier ones. I don't know. Let's make that up. Here's the bottom line. You got to learn this stuff, okay? You have to know, is it the silver trumpet, the shofar, or the flute for the marching signals? We do have somebody who is ready to give us an answer. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
God bless you, David. This is Fred. How are you?
I'm doing great, Fred. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, sir. Can't complain.
Now, you know what's great about that is even if you complained, it wouldn't help. I just told that to Dee today.
It wouldn't help at all. It would not help, sir.
I mean, what would it do? Wouldn't do anything.
Nothing.
All
right, my brother. Okay, now, this is a pretty specific question in the sense that it's tricky because we know that there's a couple of instruments involved, but we're trying to nail down the one that's for the marching signal. So the musical instrument that was used to give the marching signal, was it silver trumpet, the shofar, or the flute?
You know, I thought about the flute one. I mean, flute was exactly which, and it may be the flute. My guess, David, my guess would be the trumpet.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right, sir.
You don't think I can knock anybody off their feet, but the trumpet, things can happen.
Yep, yep. And so they said they had two trumpets that were beaten out of silver. Like, that's how you know they were silver trumpets.
Well, you know, we both, and all of us, our Christians are waiting to hear one trumpet. That's that trumpet that's found in Thessalonians. For the Lord himself said, ascended from heaven with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God.
That's right.
So I'm waiting to hear that trumpet. I'm sure we all are.
Yep, that's it. I mean, all the things you want to hear, the last thing I want to hear is, okay, done, bye.
Absolutely. I do have a quick question that I've been wanting to ask you for quite some time, if you don't mind.
No, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
In my studies of eschatology, I've got quite a few answers, but I want to hear from you. What is the chronological order of events as related to God's calendar? I mean, what's going to happen first, second, all the way down the line? What is the order of events in eschatology?
Well, see, that's that is the largest possible, that is like the second largest possible question you could ask in the universe, in the sense that some people think, okay, this temple's got to be built, this has got to be built. I know what's got to happen. The Lord's got to go now. If you're looking for a deep theological, you're not going to.
No, I'm not looking for anything. I just, hey, let me use the word synopsis. Give me a quick synopsis, if you will.
Okay, fire away. Remember to give you a quick synopsis?
I'm hanging up first and let you tell.
Okay. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And so what that means is, there's nobody who wants a pre-trib rapture more than me. Just telling you right now. But it's going to get worse before it gets better. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many admonitions for us to endure until the end. That's just the reality check. You can't change that. The way that I see it all breaking down, you know, like, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? So I think, as I observe the eschatology, the next move that you will see is it'll move way out of this political realm right now that's saying this group is bad or this group is bad, and it's going to fire into completely the Christian group is the group that's creating all the problems, and that's where all the persecution is going to rise. You think, well, is there going to be an individual? I mean, probably. I mean, in the sense of, you know, the man of lawlessness, how is that going to break down? I don't know. What I see for sure that the church needs to keep on, the next big event is an extreme rise in this country of persecution of people who have genuine faith. Whether they're really doing anything or not won't matter. They've already proven that, because people that are praying silently are going to jail. That's going to happen. And then we should know that we could look up, for our redemption draws nigh. And by his grace, I hope that's Trumpet City. But if it's not, we need to be prepared all the way with our faith to lay it down. That's all I'm going to give you, in the sense that I could give you the floor for the church. It's persecution. Now people are like, well, if we're raptured, I want that. I'm with you. I support you. But if that rapture is delayed, if the snatching away, and the word is snatch away, the word's not actually rapture, but if the snatching away is delayed, you have to endure, because only those who endure to the end will be saved, right? Can't quit in the middle of your faith, right? So persecution going to increase dramatically. This country, if for all we know, we could be one of the, we don't know this. It could be one of the, we don't know this at all, I should say that real quickly. We could be one of the last vestiges of people gathering in the sense of righteousness, and then once that's wiped out, it's wiped out. You see what I'm saying? So. That's, is that helpful? I don't want to say anything more. I don't want to, because I can, well, this, people are like, well, this has got to be built and this has got to happen. It's like, nah, I think
I think what you said, David, you explained it good.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's always going to be a different of opinions of, well, different little things.
I know that they've got the little things that they say, well, this must happen or this must be built or this must be, or this must be revealed, or, you know, the red heifer. I know all about this. So here's what I'm going to say. The church is going to get, it's going to get like it did for the early church. It's going to get like that.
Yeah, we want to be like the other church.
Right, sure you do.
We always say that, eh?
All right, sure you do. They were running for their lives. I'm just curious how many people think that was a great idea. Anyway.
They wouldn't worry about 401ks.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. You have to have a devoted faith, because if your faith cracks at the first sign of pressure, then you're one of the earlier seeds that fell in that Jesus talked about on the parable of the sower. Yeah, you don't want that. Remember that? Actually, I think it was seed number two that persecution rose, and that was the end of that. So you don't want that to happen. But I do see from an eschatological point of view, I think the church will still make strides, and I think evil will still make strides, because I'm that guy that thinks the wheat and the tares grow together, kind of like the result of eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So wait, we did eat that tree. Oh, wait, so we are growing in good and evil. Oh, that's all still happening. But I also believe in the deliverance of God. And so for those that are fearful, you keep your eyes on the Lord, and he will save us. All right? He will save you. Keep your eyes focused. Hope that helps. I hope that's somewhat helpful. That was a great question, Fred. You can always ask. Although that kind of answer could take about 4 years to answer. Yeah, do the best I can. Persecution's going to rise. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. All right, folks, we'll take a break. That's it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.